welcome back to the podcast. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at the letter of James. Now, we live in a world that tells us what to think day by day. Is that something a Christian should just live with? Well, James, in this letter, he wants to warn us about double-mindedness, living as if we are a Christian and a non-Christian at the same time. So let's dive in and hear what he has to say. Sri and Gopi Hiduja, David and Simon Reuben, Sir Jim Ratcliffe, Sir Len Blavatnik, Sir James Dyson. Those are the names of people found at the top of a very particular list, a particular list that will be published again, as it is every year, in a week or so's time. Those are the top five people in the Sunday Times Rich List. But why does the Sunday Times publish that list? Why do they mark the calendar every year in the middle of May and produce such a list? I think it's because in this world, money matters. It can't buy you friends, of course, but it can buy you better neighbours, or at least better gates and fences to keep the other people out. Money makes the world go round. And having money makes your opinion matter more, doesn't it? Have you ever noticed that? I don't know when it began, but we've stopped having experts on the news so much, and now it's the opinion of whatever celebrity is nearby. Eddie Redmayne, explain to us why global warming is such a massive deal. Money matters, and it's something that impacts everyone's lives. It must matter to the people James is writing to as well. Just remember who they are, verse 1. The 12 scattered tribes. Packing up your belongings and being dispersed around the globe is not the epitome of being rich, is it? The days of Acts 2 are long gone, the days when Luke could say, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. In fact, it's more like the Acts 8 world now. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. How those people must have longed for the Acts 2 days. Wealth, money, it's all relevant, isn't it? It's always relevant to us. And James wants us to know here that wealth is just another of the areas in which worldly thinking can enter the Christian mind. If you remember, James has been calling his readers to being single-minded. He wants his readers to not be double-minded. And he's highlighted three issues that can cause a Christian to be double-minded. And like a good preacher, he starts them all with the letter W. Don't be double-minded about worries, about wisdom, and now this evening, about wealth. And the issue with double-mindedness is that it can cause you to wander from the truth, whether that is worries, trials becoming too much and making you search for comfort, or wisdom, godly living, as the connection between head and hands is severed and our lives become more worldly. Or this evening, wealth, running after money, hoping it makes us happy. So this week, as we focus on verses 9 to 11, James is going to target that third W, wealth. Let me read James 1, 1 to 12, so we can see the big context, and then we'll focus in on verses 9 to 11. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. Greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial because, having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Just imagine with me that you have gone to the funeral of a rich person. There are many people there. The coffin is made out of the finest wood. It's probably mahogany, right? And there are reporters all over the place. One such journalist is interviewing the family members and they ask the usual question, so how much did they leave you then? There's the common motto, isn't there? You can't take it with you. And verse 11 highlights that for us. Just have a look at verse 11. Like a flower in a field, the sun eventually withers it. Shakespeare is famous for saying that life is like a candle, just one poof and it's gone. You can diamond encrust that candle. You can place that candle in a golden lampstand. You can even put the candle pride of place in your house. But one gust of wind, one window left open, and it's gone. And that goes the same for rich and for poor. Verse 10 uses the euphemism of passing away. We use it too, don't we? He passed away. In fact, verses 9 and 10, they don't really make sense, do they? Just have a look at what they're saying. When you really think about it, are they making sense? Well, this is what English teachers would call an oxymoron. According to my dictionary, that's a figure of speech in which apparently contradictory terms appear in conjunction. The lowly boast in their exaltation and the rich boast in their humiliation. Should be the other way round, shouldn't it, really? You might think. You see, those two things, they don't make sense on their own until we remember the gospel. Until we remember the gospel message. James spells out that message for us in James chapter 2, verse 5. Just flick there with me for a moment. James chapter 2, verse 5. James says this. Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? Come back with me to the funeral of that rich person as the mahogany coffin is being laid in the ground and the journalists are asking the questions. Just imagine the situation when the journalist asks the question, who did they leave it to? And the person being asked turns and with their finger stretched out, they point directly at you. You see, in Jesus' funeral, he left all his riches to you. Through Jesus' death, you, Christians, have become heirs of his kingdom. Flick back with me to James chapter 1, verse 9. Do you see how that works? The lowly can take pride in that. And verse 10, well, the rich can take pride in humiliation if they have Jesus. The gospel is what makes those verses make sense. Even though we may pass away like grass in a field, we have a kingdom and riches that can never be taken away. In fact, James has already said that a Christian is not lacking anything, hasn't he? Have a look back at verse 4. Now, we know this is true, but we still look over our shoulder, don't we? And we think, what if I won the lottery? What if I made it onto that Sunday Times rich list? Of course, you'd give loads of it away. Well, I'd help Christchurch Hemel get a church building. I'd also clear the mortgage. I'd set my family up for life. And then, of course, I'd be able to serve the Lord more wholeheartedly. You could say, I could buy heaven now for my friends and family. And because I'm a Christian, I can have heaven in the future too. I can have the best of both worlds, literally. What does James say? You double-minded Christian. Christian, you're already rich, remember? You're an heir of the kingdom. So as we look at our bank accounts now, whether they're nigh on empty, or you could take a big dive into them like Scrooge McDuck, we don't have to take pride in them. We take pride in nothing we have now. And we can do that because, through Jesus, we are rich. We are rich now because we're an heir of the kingdom. We should be praying that we'd be single-minded about wealth. It's such a big area in our world today, isn't it? Pray that we would know that we're rich because we're heirs of the kingdom. Really believe that and know that. We should pray specifically for the situations where we find money as a temptation, where we think money would make things better for us. And we should give thanks, shouldn't we, that our treasure is secure in heaven. It's not going to go anywhere. Nothing's going to get to it. No moth or rust will destroy there. And that's in massive comparison to what we have now, isn't it? We need to realise how temporary money and possessions are right now and pray that we'd consider following Jesus better than running after the cash. Well, hopefully that gave us some things to think about. Join us again next week. Hey, baby.